We rarely hear about the Holy Family's stay in Egypt, where they fled soon after the birth of Jesus in Bethlehem to escape King Herod's wrath. But it was here, in the land of the pharaohs, Anthony and Cleopatra, and pagan gods, that tradition holds Jesus spent the first few years of his young life. Certainly, it was not long after Christ's death and resurrection in Jerusalem that Christianity finally took root in various parts of the Middle East and Africa, including Egypt. While it was the canonical writer of the Gospels, St. Mark, who evangelized Egypt in the very first century AD, Alexandria became one of the centers of learning of the growing Christian community, which had extended well across Egypt by the 4th century. Christianity remained a significant element of the population until the arrival of Islam in the 7th century.
In the 7th century came the Islam, and many of the Christians were converted to Islam because they told that if one cannot pay money, he has to convert to Islam religion.
Bishop Ibrahim Sedrak of Minya, Egypt, comes from the Coptic Church there, one of the oldest Christian communities dating back to the time of St. Mark himself. Today, Christians number between 10 to 13% of Egypt's 80 million strong population, the majority of whom are Sunni Muslim.
Everybody asks, when did you convert? And is your whole family is Christian? From the first year, we are Christian.
From the very first century after Christ.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm bishop, I'm Catholic. So it's good to know each other. Our community, a very few community, but I think is very active and very useful as bridge between the Arab Muslim society and the universal church. Between the Coptic Orthodox Church in Egypt and between the Catholics of the Universal Church. We are trying to do well with our institutions as schools. We have 180 schools in Egypt between congregations and between dioceses, between association, also lay association. So,
and I imagine you have Muslim as well as Christian children.
The majority in our schools are Muslim, and the leader in future. But we try don't to forget the poor people also, and we have to learn more, and we try to do more.
Today, Egypt's constitution provides for freedom of belief and the practice of religious rites, though some restrictions apply. Islam is the official state religion, and Sharia, Islamic law, is the primary source of legislation. So, I was curious to know how are relations today between the country's small Christian minority and the Muslim majority?
We have to distinguish between dialogue of the life, daily life we live together, we suffer together from the same things, we rejoice together also in the same things. So we have to distinguish between the theoric dialogue and the daily life dialogue. Theoric dialogue is very difficult because too many ideas, too many theory, and too many institution, Al-Azhar, the Orthodox Church, the Protestant, and the Catholic minority. As you know, we are 300,000 Catholics. In one minority of Christian, which is about 10 million, in a majority Muslims, 80 million.
So you're saying that the Coptic community in Egypt is just one of many different Christian churches.
Yes.
And so within that, you are a minority within a very large Muslim majority population.
Yes.
Let's talk a moment about this dialogue within the Christian churches and the Muslim community. What are the challenges that this dialogue presents? And obviously it's different for the church outside of Egypt and the church within Egypt.
Sure. No, I'm speaking now from the church inside Egypt because I live there. The challenges are how to speak with the people who doesn't know each other. The Muslim has many bad ideas about Christians. And sometimes also the Christian don't know the Muslim people. So the ignorance create an atmosphere of tension. So everybody, when we live together, when we work together at this sphere of social culture, we find each other.
One of the best ways to bring Christians and Muslims closer together is through sharing experiences and supporting each other in special initiatives.
When we listen to one another, so we find the line, the good line, to go together. Even when we are different, and I say especially when we are different. The fear also is a challenge. Nobody wants to say the reality that we are different. We try to go very delicate in our discussion. We say we like the Muslims. We pray there as also. We make everything like you, but we go far from the truth, and in truth is life. So. I think in our diocese, we have many ways to live together, working, development work. And I want to tell you an experience. We have a pastoral care for the prisoners, yes, in our diocese. And it's a very good activities. So
prisoners, Muslim and Christian?
No. We work now for the Christians because we cannot work with the Muslims. Otherwise, we will be evangelizing, and it's not allowed. So, once one of the religious responsible, Sheikh, told us what you are doing with the prisoners. We told them, and he wants to come with us and work for the Muslim people. And we told him that he must learn and come with one group of the Muslim youth, and they learn from us what we are doing with them and do the same with Muslim prisoners. They are doing very well now, and they are very grateful for the church.
This is spiritual and, say, psychological support for the prisoners?
Yeah, sure. Not only psychological or spiritual, but economical also. And not only for the prisoner in the prison, but for the families, for the children of the prisoner. It's growing up. Ongoing working, it's growing up.
That's a very interesting initiative that you've started there. But can you tell me about the problems that some parts of Egypt are facing now between, quite frankly, some Christians are being attacked in mixed villages. How do you respond in a positive way to this sort of violence?
It's very difficult to respond, but we are there. And I think it's in all the world, there is some fundamentalism. And we are touched by this also. So I cannot say that the good people, the religious people, the spiritual people who can understand good the religion, they are who attack. No, many people, by ignorance, they do that. So we can find the minority suffers also everywhere. As minority, we are suffering also. Who attacks, they are paid by many other institutions, organizations. We cannot say who exactly, but some of them are known now.
I was speaking with one of the other bishops here from North Africa, and he said he was disturbed by what he sees as a growing radicalization in Egypt. Do you see it that way?
Yeah, I see. Because
what do you attribute that to?
First, in everything, we use religion now as cover. It's not the true religion, but it's one of the cover that they can do everything.
Unfortunately, Bishop Cedrak says religion in Egypt today is often used as a cover or justification used to discriminate against weaker communities. And this cover is unofficially adopted by many, from politicians to local civil authorities to merchants.
The politic people use religion. Everywhere we use religion, just to avoid
the real issue.
The religious.
So it's more of a political issue?
I think political, economical issues covered by religious ideas. But we have to denounce this, because I think for us the church has double roles, is to proclaim the truth and denounce all this. Again, it's the truth. We have to work for justice, because with justice we have peace, and with peace we have reconciliation.
Is there justice in Egypt today for Christians?
I can say that the poor people and the minority are suffering, even Muslims people. So the problem, as I said, that the security has colored the life with religious ideas and theory. And many, many of the civil responsibles taking this cover as for their work. So more for the Christian, we are minority, then we are marginalized. Once speak about persecution, no, I don't agree. Perhaps marginalized, perhaps neglected. And many are fundamentalists and responsible in their post. They do as they think.
Though laws and presidential decrees limiting delays to church rebuilding and repair in Egypt have been in effect for years, many Christian communities continue to have difficulty in obtaining the proper permits. Their efforts seem thwarted, they say, by local bureaucracy, often simply by one unsympathetic local official.
So one Christian is not allowed to build a church. We have many time to get the permission to restore and build a church. But it's not official attitude. It's from the individuals, but it's very too much.
Could we get back a moment to the issue of interreligious dialogue? As we mentioned before, there are some very prestigious names in Islamic scholars, Islamic imams who are involved in the official dialogue with the Catholic Church. How do you get that official message down to the grassroots level?
Unfortunately, we get nothing of this. For the grassroots, for the people, they doesn't know. And the media here plays a bad role.
In what sense?
They don't announce what the people are doing.
So you're saying that the press in Egypt doesn't talk about these encounters of interreligious dialogue?
No.
So what needs to be done to change that situation? Should the imams themselves who are involved in this dialogue put more pressure on the media?
We have a problem because the imam or the person who comes, he comes in the name of the state. So the media gains nothing to write this. Sometimes the opposite.
Yet you have the official state media.
Yeah, we get the title, the headline, only the headline. But in the TV, because I can say nobody reads now. Everybody can see the TV. We hear more than reading. So if we want to promote a subject, a theme, we have to announce it.
So how do we do that?
We have to speak. We have to let our voice be heard. We have to say, to proclaim the liberty of religious, the liberty of conscience.
I just am having a problem, I suppose, in trying to understand how to get the media in these countries more interested in talking about these initiatives. Because even here in the West, the media is all about scandal, violence. It's always the bad news that interests the media, not the good news.
Mm-hmm.
Well, how do you get the good news stories across?
I cannot understand. It's not my role. Eh? It's the role of the media to be convinced that, to pay attention to the good things also, to promote the reconciliation between the people.
I think that many people here in Europe would have a lot to learn from Christians in the Middle East and in Africa. There are so many things that we seem as Christians to have lost here. One thing that many people who I've talked to have told me, fasting, for example, is very important in Africa and in the Middle Eastern churches. It's something that we've lost.
Yeah, sure. We have to learn from each other. Many things we learn. And also for the Occidental church or for Occidental society, as you said now, you mentioned fasting. Yeah, the symbols were lost. We have to evaluate also the sign, the spirituality of how to be in the presence of God, how to be open toward the other poor people and the people. I don't fast because God needs this. That's not the truth. But I'm fasting to remember that everything from God's grace and everything not to obtain to myself, but to give for the others.
And a very warm thanks there to Bishop Ibrahim Sedrak of Minya, Egypt.